Hello and welcome to The Bottom Line. This podcast examines the everyday business and finance issues faced by closely held and private businesses. We hope to provide you with news you can use in what we like to think of as a jargon-free zone. I'm your host, Dave Plasko, and with us again is Tim Schuster, a manager in Eisner Amper's Private Business Services Group. In this episode, we'll discuss the different types of retirement savings plans available to small business owners. Tim, nice to see you.
Dave, it's always a pleasure.
Before we delve into the different types of plans, why is it important for small business owners to make retirement plans available to employees?
Absolutely. A scary thought really is that retirement plans are actually going to be the main vehicle for people to save for retirement. You can't fully rely on Social Security, nor would I put all of your eggs into Social Security. Mm-hmm. Really, another good thing too that a business can utilize this for is a really good way to recruit employees. You know, they have that graduated rates they stay on for a certain amount of times, investment period. So it really is a great way to keep valuable employees. Mm-hmm. And also, business owners, honestly, can benefit from it because it's tax deductible.
Sure. Definitely circle that one for our listeners.
Absolutely.
So what are the best plans suited to small businesses?
Basically, there are three plans. One is the Simple Employment Pension Plan, or SEPT-IRA. Another is Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees, or Simple IRA. Self-employed 401k plans, and also there's a 403b plan for not-profits, but we can save that for another day.
Okay, so with the other three, can you break each of those down for our listeners?
Sure. Every plan has a variety of facets, but for our purposes today, we're going to really examine two, which is eligibility and contribution limits.
Okay.
So with the SEPT IRAs, employees must participate if they have a minimum age, typically it's 21, and also a length of employment. And what I tend to see with my clients is anywhere between, say, 3 of the past 5 years per se.
Okay.
And also, they have to have a salary of roughly around $600, which is also, ironically enough, similar to the miscellaneous income amounts that 1099s would have to be issued. Okay. So an employer's total contribution is limited to the lesser of either, say, 25% of the employee's wages or roughly, say, $55,000.
Okay. And the Simple IRA?
So a Simple IRA is a savings incentive match plan for employees' individual retirement plan accounts, or if that sounds kind of familiar, Simple IRA.
Mm-hmm.
It's available to employers with 100 employees or less, and the employer may match the contributions of employees up to, say, roughly around 3% of employees' compensations, or the employer might contribute a flat 2% of compensation for each employee with at least $5,000 in compensation for the year. The employee contribution limit is $12,500.
Okay. And finally, the solo 401k plan.
So that plan is designed for sole proprietors with no full-time employees other than the business owners and their spouses. The elective contribution limit is $18,000 of pre-tax income. In addition, you can make a non-elective profit-sharing contribution of up to 25% of your pay. The maximum total contribution is roughly $53,000, so if you want to contribute a larger amount, you may want to consider this over a SEPT IRA. And also, before we recorded this podcast today, you know, I read this interesting facet on MSN that might have some potential big impacts under the tax reform. So most 401k plans and similar defined contribution benefits are offered by large employers because they're too expensive for small businesses to administer. Under tax reform, it may become even less advantageous for small businesses to host these accounts. The bill reduces the income tax rates for small businesses, but does not address offering or contributing to retirement plans.
Okay, so that's just another tentacle of tax reform that's reaching out there. This is really, you know,
absolutely
touching on a lot of different areas for people.
The onion keeps on peeling.
Sure. So, Tim, it's about that time for one of your always illuminating New Jersey Historical Society fun facts. Give it to us.
Oh, absolutely. So everyone loves going down to the shore, going down to the beach, but I don't know if people are aware, the longest boardwalk is actually in New Jersey. Can you guess where?
I'm going to say Wildwood.
Wildwood is close. You're in the right vicinity, but okay. Actually it's Atlantic City.
Okay.
Yeah, so Atlantic City is the world's longest boardwalk. So if you go down there, congratulations, guys. You are a part of some sort of historical fact there.
Nice. Well, thanks for all this great information, Tim. It's valuable as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to The Bottom Line as part of the Eisner Emperor podcast series. If you have any questions or there's a topic you'd like us to cover, email us at contact@eisneramper.com. And visit EisnerAmper.com for more information on this and a host of other topics. And join us for our next Eisner Amper podcast when we get down to business.